for the purpose, we're just doing our thing.
For the purpose of critique, review, and education, it's the Nerdlings Podcast. I'm WC Chronicles, your senior host.
Jersey Mike, junior host. Oh, we're looking at the pipe. That's what I'm thinking of.
Well, yeah, okay. So I just got back. This is the first time we've been doing a podcast now. Just got back from Oregon.
Where'd you go?
Went to see my mom and dad, and my brothers, and go see the eclipse in Oregon, which is the most incredible thing to experience it.
That sounds like it's like one of those things that only happen every half a century, quarter a century.
Pretty much, yeah, because the last one that happened was 1979. I was in sixth grade, and as it happened in February, it was cloudy.
Wow, this year was it cloudy?
It was not cloudy. We had the most beautiful... We went to a town called... it was just north of Woodburn. It was a town called Hubbard. It took us about 30 minutes to get there, about 30 miles. We were in the path of totality. It came down. It was awesome. I mean, imagine a manhole cover going into the collars it sits in. You see that, and that sun moves in, and it just puts you in awe. It just, I mean, to do that, and I look over at my mom and dad, it's dark out. It's just like, yes, we did this in 1879, and we do it again now.
Vegas, we had a, overcast with clouds that day, so we didn't even get a chance to see anything. It's like, wow, what are you going to do, man? And they said the West Coast was the best place to see it.
That's what I heard, too. I heard, like, it was raining in Missouri or other...
A lot of bizarre stuff.
A lot of bad weather stuff, but it was fun. It was just a fun family thing to pull together, and we went and did it, and knowing that... Won't be able to get to do that again. But once you experience an eclipse like that, it is just monumental. It will change your life if you allow it. That's a good thing.
Sounds like a good family outing once every whatever amount of years. Good
yes.
Quality. Natural. Nature's fun.
Yes.
Nature, like they say, nature's nature's raisins. You know, they say raisins, whatever, sweet food. That's nature.
It was all natural.
You had a good natural thing. It was free. You didn't have to go run around to pay for parking and concerts.
No,
and
we did do a good hike to get to the park.
But that was healthy.
Yeah. And there's a few good stories there because you called into the podcast last Monday.
Yes.
If you haven't listened to that one, go back because there's a few funny things that happened at the eclipse party.
You got to hear the eclipse party podcast.
So, but also a few other things that was fun. I want to tell you about my wooden pipe story. I showed you the photos of it, and you didn't believe it until you saw them. Correct?
Did the wooden pipe go along with Woody Woodpecker?
No.
Because I saw a leak sprung in there.
And it's not those kind of pipes either.
What kind of pipes?
These are actual water pipes.
Oh, okay.
So, Lake Oswego, Oregon, when I was about 10 years old in Cub Scouts, we went on one of these Cub Scout hikes.
Wow.
It was like in the middle of the winter time. My dad was one of the den leaders with another den leader. We went on this hike, and we found and came across this huge wooden pipe. When I say wooden pipe, now I'm going to post these pictures on our Instagram account, WCW_comedy, Shiny Squirrel Podcast, because you got to see it to believe it. So when I was 10 years old in 1974, these pipes would have been around 130 years old.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, because it's like a imagine like a barrel. And then it has these metal bands around it.
Yeah, like a barrel in front of one of those old general stores or had candy in them or whatever, apples or whatever.
But these pipes, these slats are pieced together so that it keeps going for about a half a mile. And you had to see the pictures to believe
it. Yeah, amazing.
And here's the thing. We always knew it was old, but then me and my dad went on about a 2.5-hour hike to go rediscover this.
How did he like that after the eclipse?
This was before the eclipse.
Oh, before
this
the eclipse.
It was fun. Because this is something that we did. Here's the thing. We did something when I was in sixth grade. And
was that Mabel calling in?
No.
Okay.
Went and did this when I was in sixth grade. Now doing something when I was in fourth grade. Gonna post these pictures. These pipes are 167 years old.
That's amazing. But yet the amazing thing is, it's like when the French. I learned this from. What was his name? Edward Norton from Honeymooners.
Yeah.
The French, he thought his guy turned around, loved the sewers, he condemned the sewers. What I'm trying to say is, it's old as dirt. That is older than dirt, and you're still using it. That's amazing.
You'll see the leaks that we're shooting out about the size of a pencil.
But amazing.
Build the capacity. Yeah, I mean, they don't make things like they used to.
No, not even close. And to see that is like, now what's wrong with today's technology with building, except the companies get greedy and they make things to break down because it saves money and they have to buy something new. This is 167 years old with a couple plugs in the dike. It'll still literally work.
Your smartphone will have a lifespan of about maybe 3 years if you're lucky. This pipe is still carrying water, 167 years old and still going strong.
That's amazing. And there was a section of it that was welded to a regular pipe.
Yes.
With but not welded.
With these bands around it. Yeah.
That's amazing.
And here's the thing. That pipe, I don't know if I told you, it's 5 feet in circumference.
Wow.
About five and a half feet. So, I mean, it's about almost, as my stand up, it's probably about that round.
Wow.
It's huge. But anyway, that's my pipe story. Okay, so that's my pipe story. I'm going to post the pictures. Take a look at it.
Take a look at it, because it's pretty amazing how this can last. But yet, our infrastructure in America is so beat.
Another good point.
Yeah, what happened? How can they build something to last like this long, but yet the bridges, the roads, this and that? So I think America's been getting fleeced by companies for a long time. And this, you have discovered history that we have evidence that things were built better back then.
What's funny is, it's on a road called McVeigh Road in Lake Oswego. These cars pass it every day. There's this tiny little plaque, maybe about a foot by foot, stating that how the guy named Durham opened up a wood mill there in 1850. And it's just this piece of history people just drive over every day.
I wonder if they got
drunk. On the bridge.
And they, you know, if they got drunk and they wanted to, like, have toboggan races, did they slide down the pipes and get all kinds of splinters up their ass? I'm curious about that. You got to laugh because they got to do something for fun. And I imagine it must have been snowy in that area, too.
This was sea level, so if you went up to Mount Hood, you could probably do that, I imagine.
And does it freeze there in the wintertime when these guys built the pipe and stuff? This 1850, how do you know?
This was before Abraham Lincoln was president.
Yes, how do you know? Just don't know.
Nerded on a pipe when I was 10. I'm nerding on a wood pipe now when I'm... So anyway, you went to a concert. Tell us about that.
Went to... 2017 Summer Bash 96.3 LLKZ Las Vegas, and Boy George was the main name there. And I'll tell you what, they had new shoes,
which I have old connection to because they're from Portland. Used to see them live, but we'll carry on.
They sing Point of No Return.
I can't wait.
Then they had this group. I really didn't know who they were except the one song. It was two guys, but it was probably another band that was, you know, dismantled, and a couple guys are holding it together. Then they had Tommy Two Tone, Jenny, 867-5309.
I met him before.
Then they had Tiffany, I Think We're Alone Now, and I Can't, Could Have Been So Wonderful. Then they had the Romantics.
Now, you're saying Tiffany was the most energetic.
Yes. She jumped up and turned around and went, you know how, like, most people don't want to go into the pit
where
security stands so the fans don't run? She went one spot, two spot, three spots, took off her high heels and turned around and said, these are killing me, and this is not me. So if you've ever been to a Tiffany show, this is a Tiffany show. High energy, really good entertainer. New songs, really good shit, really good, incredible songs she wrote. She's really something.
She was the 80s mall queen.
She was really something. She did the little dance where she went,
No way.
Yeah, for a couple seconds. She did really good. Then. Yeah.
Did anybody get, I would like to see video of that and then put it in a GIF format.
Oh, that would have been pretty cool. Who knows where it's going to go. It was Mike and Carla's Summer Bash.
Yeah.
And it was just pretty awesome. Then after Tiffany, they did like a couple minute breaks. They had to do a switch the sets around, whatever. Romantics come out. I Hear the Secrets That You Sleep.
That's
gonna
be cool.
Was incredible. I think they have another hit.
What
I Like About You. Then 20-minute break. Here comes Boy George. I saw him last year at the Palms with Culture Club. He was solo. This was revolved around his name and talent. Folks, he announced that he's going to take his show to Vegas to the millions. He said the masses get to see him. Along,
you know, because have you ever seen an interview with him these days?
Oh, he's incredible.
He is such a sense of humor. He is such a good
converse.
He is funny and he's cute. He has humor about himself.
He did.
And some of the real comedians these days.
Oh, yeah. He did all the songs. Karma Chameleon, Church of the Poison Mind. He sang the Rhythmic Sweet Dreams of the Year. He did Fly Me to the Moon at the end, believe it or not, for his...
The Sinatra hit?
Yes, his... manager's birthday. So they ran such a
tremendous concert.
Yeah, it was
I got a Frank Sinatra thing coming up in the podcast here.
He was really amazing. The whole show was amazing. It was like 4 hours long.
Wow.
But, you know, with the set changes and everything. Can I tell you something? This is one of the best concerts you've ever seen before, because you don't know that you're going to see the groups that you grew up on,
yeah,
MTV, or the, you couldn't go because you were a kid because your mom and dad didn't take you, they worked or whatever.
And they're coming at you in fast succession.
And now you see them, they got older, you see how they perform, they're still going at it, they're still trying new projects. Tommy Two Tone's got something coming out new. The Romantics do too, they said. Boy George is coming to Vegas. Tiffany still tours, she said. She's writing new music, and I apologize about the second group. They have a hit. I didn't know their thing, but they were very energetic. Like, they reminded you of something like Devo.
Okay.
The guy had the glasses on at night, but not the actual look. So it was an 80s pack theme, and let me tell you, the songs, you didn't put yourself to sleep. It was just incredible, the energy level. Boy George was just, oh my gosh, he's amazing. He wears famous hat. He dances good. He makes some jokes. You know, he talks about it, but he said, like, everybody's got a different opinion.
Because I saw an interview with him from Australia, and he has just, he doesn't take himself serious, not heavy.
How can you?
It is, he has such a good, he, from where he was, say, 10, 15 years ago in the drugs and everything, he's really made himself better person.
Because he wants to live.
Yeah, that's
it. He's worth $25 million.
I'd live on weight too.
He was one of the biggest stars with Culture Club in the 80s. If it wasn't for MTV, they said when I was on tour, they wouldn't have got into our living rooms. And they were a hit. What other guy dresses up with dreadlocks and all kinds of stuff who's, you know, alternative lifestyle, gay, who's going to do that besides the 80s? He said he wants people to dress up and just have fun. Who cares what people think? Just do it. Now, if I had $25 million, I wouldn't care either if somebody said what I look. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. These guys really have a home run. 96.3 KKLZ or LKZ.
Local station,
Mike and Carla. You guys did one hell of a job, man. People loved it.
Awesome. So I got a little bit of a Spider-Man update for you.
Is this the Spider-Man movie, cartoon, or with that little girl?
This is the little six-year-old girl named Sinead, who will give a little quick recap, not the whole story. But
she thinks you're Spider-Man.
She saw my Spider-Man tattoo, started like, are you, are you him? I immediately took on the persona. She thinks I am Spider-Man.
Hey, listen, you do a lot of weird things at night. You go out and what do they do? Catch spiders? And what does he do? He shoots around and stuff. Isn't that who you were riding around the Aria, the fight night? They said there was something going around. Wasn't that you shooting the web and going around doing, keeping an eye on the good?
For a six-year-old who still believes in Santa Claus, the Tooth Fairy, the Easter Bunny, and Spider-Man, yes, that was me.
Yes, but what are you doing, you know, looking after everybody so we were all protected?
That's very good,
Spidey. Very good.
So I had a Spider-Man shirt. It was red. My mom bought it for me, maybe one of my visits back.
Famous Mabel? Was it hidden in the vault or was it in the house?
It was in the vault.
Oh, wow.
Because I didn't bring it back with me, which we do have the new Mabel update coming up here shortly.
Did you bring any virgin paper plates?
We will talk about that off mic. So, anyway, little six-year-old Sinead, I bring this shirt. It's a red shirt. It's got the Spider-Man logo on it. I told her I had brought her a few things. So I say to her, you know how the Spider-Man has that logo right there on his shirt? He has a few of them. And she nods her head, yes. I go, well, guess what? I brought you one. Pull it out. This was about 10, 11 o'clock a.m. Saturday morning. She put the shirt on.
Oh, that's nice.
It's a big shirt, so she just gets lost in it, okay?
That's a great story.
She wore it all day. She slept in it.
Oh, wow.
Because she was spending the night at grandma's. She wore it all day the next day. It's the cutest thing. But then she comes to my room, and she goes, when do I get to see... I don't need to whisper. She whispers to me, when do I get to see your costume? And I go, well, my costume's out being dry cleaned right now, because, you know, I have to make, I get sweaty when I sweat. I'm gonna have to go out and buy a Halloween Spider-Man
costume. Or you can rent one.
Yeah,
you
but
just tell her and make an appearance and say Spider-Man's got to turn around and have this dry clean because it's very hot out here.
You know she's gonna ask to see it again and again and again.
Yeah, it's true. I guess you're stuck buying a Halloween costume.
I'm going to have to buy a Halloween costume that I'm not going to wear, but just so I could open the drawer and say, look, here it is.
That's it.
And
that's
it'll, it. Because I don't want to destroy...
But don't they have those box costumes, like when you were a kid, for $8? They had like the weird, like, you know, it was like in plastic with a mask.
Yes.
Don't they have them?
But here's the thing. You don't test the intelligence of a young kid.
No, no, she's no. I was going to say for grandma. Really Spider-Man. She'd like that.
Oh, God. I got to get a real costume because I'm not going to destroy this little six-year-old's dream, because that's the worst thing you can do.
Yes.
Just,
yes.
You don't want to do that.
You don't want to have your spidey senses not at full tingle, whatever they call it.
His spidey senses. Yeah, you're right.
Got to get that done.
Mabel. Oh, we got the Mabel update.
How could you forget famous Mabel update?
Well,
she gave birth to you. Oh, I can't wait for another call-in with Mabel.
Oh, let's hit our theme song.
Wait for me. She's a popular as a gal can be. A household name in every family. But the one she wants so bad ain't the guy who yells like man.
Okay, I am, what's my name? Smartass B. Hush.
And I'm just today tofu, scrambled eggs, but today we're just going to be scrambled because it hit 111 here today, and I think a lot of our brains are fried from the heat by eggs. It is getting bad.
Luckily, we'll just stick to our piece of paper description.
Yes, that's it.
But we got the Mabel update.
Oh, Mabel. What happened to the promised virgin paper plate? You didn't get back, did it? She wouldn't
it
let you.
It came back, but we're going to do something with it.
Oh, I can't wait. Do you have it with you?
I don't have it with me. We'll pretend. But anyway, I'm going to talk about Spunky the Happy Goat.
Okay, Spunky the Happy Goat. Did he eat the virgin plates?
He would probably like to.
I was just going to say.
So this was about 1982. I raised goats. As you know, we were on the farm. We were going to start...
You raised or raced?
Raised.
Okay, I thought you said you raced goats. That would have been a new one.
They do have goat races.
No,
carts
they
and
really? Everything.
They do, but that's... I didn't know that.
Oh, my gosh.
You ever seen the small goats? They're called pygmy goats?
Yes.
We were going to get into and start raising pygmy goats.
Oh, wow.
Okay? So we tried to get a female. She ends up getting pneumonia, dies. Wow. We ended up spending $50 for this little male pygmy goat. Best $50 my mom says we ever spent, because he's just all kinds of entertainment.
Oh, wow.
This goat. Okay, so he was a pygmy goat. I think he thinks he was a human, because he loved to be around people, okay? When I say we, my mom, my brothers, or myself, he would get lonely, and he would see in the distance, and he would make this noise. He would like whine and cry. He'd go, and this is the way he would whine and cry until you would come down to where he was in the pen, and he would see you, and he would quit that. You know, he would just, you know, hello, you know. It was the weirdest. His name. Say something. Go ahead.
Are you sure? Are you sure that Mabel didn't really love the goat more than you and your brothers and dad, and gave it all kinds of love and special food? He wanted Mabel and wanted you guys out of there.
Well, here's
because I'll tell you what. That sounds like that he had more fun with Mabel, and she probably said, "Here's some food for you."
Well, here's
and
the
when
thing.
She yelled at you guys, "Get out!" That was probably the goat's food in the refrigerator.
I tease my mom to this day about what I'm talking about, Spunky. I refer to him as our rescue brother, Spunky. But here's the thing. He was also an escape artist. The way he could get out of a pen in the barn. Now, we would go out and milk the goats about 5 a.m., okay? He would get out, and he would climb big bale of hay, big pile of hay. He would climb to the most highest point, okay? He's a goat. That's what goats do. This is his idea of a mountain. And he would get up there, and he would come in, and he's trying to dominate him, showing you that he's bigger than you, but he'd be up there and he'd be lonely. He wants you to come up. So he'd
Are you just sure this maybe this was just a mentally challenged goat? How do you know? You really don't know. Maybe he had a separation anxiety from his mother, and Mabel took over, or maybe he wanted brothers. But it sounds like he had a little mental issue.
I think he did, but I mean, this went
he
on.
He wants to show you who's a bigger goat, but then he wants you to come up there. Well, that don't make no sense.
He is a weird goat. I mean, I think he thinks he was a person. That's what I think.
That does not surprise me. Somewhere in there, you know. Because animals a lot of times take over or want to be humans because they just want to be loved. And maybe Spunky just wanted to be loved.
When we brought him home, he was like about 3 months old. It's that little bit of bonding or what the scientists call imprinting.
Gotcha.
You know, it happens. It happened once with a chicken.
Doesn't surprise me. After Mabel, what she's got in the vault. Maybe the chicken's still alive.
Well, the memory of Spunky the Happy Goat lives on. I mean, just the way he would let you know that he wanted you to come see him. So that's the Mabel Doomsday Vault story update.
Mabel, raccoons and goats. Doesn't surprise me.
I wonder if she's got a date. Is my cap on straight?
My cap.
Hey, Maybell. How about it?
Oh, boy, it's not popular. The gal can be.
Did you say popular?
I did.
Is he popular with me?
Why, even sailor boys feel gay as they shout, ankles away.
Hey, Maybell.
It's away for me.
Oh, my God. Oh, Mabel.
Well, that's your Mabel a Doomsday Vault update.
The update of the Doomsday Vault.
A few months ago, we were going to do the topic, when things don't go as planned.
Which is, nowadays, seems to be a lot more than you would think growing up as a kid.
Well, at the time when I was picking that topic, it didn't go as planned because I had to derail it because something else came up. We ended up doing a buffet. But now it's back, and we are going to do it as a topic, when things don't go as planned. You picked a couple of topics into it. I picked a few of them. For example, the first saying that goes, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Okay.
Have you ever heard that saying?
No.
I first heard it on Dave Ramsey, the economic guy that does a radio show. I kind of like that. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. You know, I mean, that's a perfect scenario for
it's
Las
like
Vegas.
It's like a squirrel not putting away that cartoon we did.
Yeah.
Or the grasshopper turning around out there playing all day and the little ants are working.
Exactly.
And stuff. That's just how it is. Got to save some money. Don't need all these fancy gadgets if you can't afford them.
You can't afford them, you don't need them.
Don't need them.
So, also, it's like the Boy Scouts credo or Cub Scouts credo. Always be prepared.
Yes, that I've heard that one.
That
always
one
be
is
prepared.
Still burned in my brain. When things don't go as planned, you always go with Plan B.
Okay.
Correct, or Plan C?
What's Plan B on this one?
Plan B is actually a song that I wanted to play because it's from 2001 by Huey Lewis and the News.
Oh, nice.
This was a kind of their comeback album because in the 90s they were kind of becoming not relevant.
Little inflated on your stomach, like a tire, spare tire when you get older.
Well,
that's how they became.
But their hardcore fans were still there. The album Plan B, same title track, it's kind of a jazz thing. I was looking for the live version, which was a bonus track on the Japanese release, but I couldn't find it.
Oh.
So I took it and I remixed it for our podcast.
Nice.
So here is Huey Lewis in the News, Plan B, the Squirrel Mix.
The minister, bells and lace, I'm the relatives in one place. And they're riding men by the body. You wanna change your mind? When it's time for me to face up to reality, that's what time it is. I should no better, girls so fine. They tell me it happens all the time. And nothing but trouble, do to do. A ton of attention everywhere you go. Yeah, you're the kind of girl that makes a little love bring a big change, if you know what I mean. Well, there's only one option that I live for me. Let me get my head together. Guess who was too good to be true? All that devotion and attitude. But you found somebody you had missed, and that was the one thing that you can't resist. So you tell me that you love me, then you kick me out in the street. So cold. When it's time for me to be such a reality. What time it is, yeah. You got to have a plan.
The jazzy, the bluesy, Huey Lewis and the News, Plan B. Now, you said you never heard that song?
Never heard the song, but I have a Plan B in life. If A doesn't work out, you always got to have at least some kind of sensible backup story.
Yes.
Or plan. Like, in other words, like, let's say you want to go to Hollywood, like, I want to go acting, and eventually I'm going to get there, and eventually you're going to do it. If it works out, great. If not, you come to a rationalization, you become content. That you might have to work for Joe Blow's Steakhouse,
yeah,
and do a little gig here and there. So you become, that's Plan B.
You know, and maybe subconsciously you should have a Plan C, and this is like a Scooby-Doo thing. Plan C, Plan D, Plan E.
I think
what is your
go to?
Your go to plan.
Well, you have one or two choices. You go to do it, or you just plan to do nothing, like that song said.
Like I was saying about the Eagles song,
yes.
You take it easy. You know, you can choose the left or the right, or you can just, if you choose to do nothing, you have already made your choice.
And once you get to the point that you think, once you get to the point of life that you have to take A, B, C, and D, which is getting out of high school, plan A, are you going to go to college, or are you going to have to...
Like the game show, let's make a deal.
Yes.
Curtain number one,
yes.
Curtain number two, or curtain number three.
Exactly. And usually you get the goat prize, or the broken down car, or, you know, chicken coop or whatever.
Bunky is
behind
curtain
exactly.
C waiting for you.
Yeah, and that's just life. And you got to be prepared for that. That's it. Like you said, be prepared. Not everybody's going to be the shining light. Not everybody's going to hit the mega bucks from Massachusetts for $750 million, walk with $430. You know, it's very rare. I met a lady one time, I think I told this story, when I worked at Trump Plaza in Atlantic City. She turned around and said she felt guilty. She went into a store in Rhode Island, bought one lottery ticket and gas, and won $10 million.
Oh, God.
After taxes, she got like maybe five or six, bought her family house, took care of everything, and she's got a thing. She felt guilty. So why feel guilty? It was meant for you.
I wouldn't feel
Enjoy
guilty.
It.
Yeah. I mean, so next thing in our topic of when things don't go planned, dating. You threw this one in,
yeah.
Okay? I just kind of threw these at you, and then I came up with the synopsis of what we were going to be talking about. September 4th, 1977. It's the Mork and Mindy pilot where Mork, Robin Williams, is getting set up on a blind date with Laverne, Penny Marshall, by the Fonz.
You know what's amazing? She always wore that L.
Yes.
Always wore L. And it was just like, wow. And what caused that? Was that from the Scarlet Letter type of thing? You know, like with the S?
You know, somewhere in there, that's worth Googling and looking
into.
Yeah,
just for the hell of it. Where'd the L come from?
But so here is the extended scene, because we got to play the whole thing, because it's Robin Williams, Henry Winkler, Penny Marshall. The video is just awesome to watch again and again.
No Cindy Williams?
No Cindy Williams.
Oh,
no,
wow.
Because Mork is seeking dating advice from the Fonz, so he has called Laverne to go on a blind date with Mork.
This I can't wait to see. It's been a while for this.
It's been a while, okay? So we're going to play. It's a bit extended, but it's worth it. It is so worth it.
Stop that. I want to talk to you about kissing again, all right?
I've been meaning to ask you about that. I want to know why I would want to do it.
Physical pleasure. Won't you do anything on your planet that includes physical pleasure?
Well, yes. There's one thing, and it's against the law, and I can't tell you.
Oh, wait a minute, we're having a man-to-man talk here or whatever. You tell me.
All right.
Yeah.
When a woman touches a man here... It drives me zazbat.
Let me get this straight. You're telling me if somebody touches you here... What's next?
Well, it only happened to me once. The zazbat came over me and I couldn't control myself. I became a beast and I jerked her earlobe. I couldn't help it, you understand?
Oh, no! I honestly regret it.
I regret it myself. I understand.
Fonzie! Your 2 minutes are up. You must be Morky. I'm Laverne, pleased.
I too am pleased. Nano, 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 nano.
Nano, 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 nano.
Yeah, well, you know, I gotta go now because...
What is nano, nano?
Two's company, two's crowd, you know what I mean?
Nano, nano.
Oh, earth humor.
Fonz, did you fix me up with another jerk?
Oh, jerk.
I love you.
Was jerk good?
Oh, yes, yes. That was a fine jerk. Fonz.
All right, look, just
I wash my hair
look,
for this.
He's a
I iron my
you don't
skirt.
Know our customs yet. Just give him a break, all right? Huh?
Okay. But tell him not to jerk. It makes me nervous.
Don't jerk. What are you, nutso? All right, look. If you get in a situation and you don't know what to do, just follow what Laverne does, because she knows the ropes, all right?
I know the ropes, too. I can tie a square hitch, a sheep shank, many, many more.
You're not going for a merit badge here. Sheep shank. All right, listen, you two. Knock your socks off.
Oh, that's Fonzie, huh? So, Morky. I'm not real good in geography. This Ork place, where is that, off Greece?
No, we Orkans have been off Greece for at least 5 blims. Now for lubricants, we use Viz, Gej, or the ever popular Limacook.
Of course. I don't understand why we don't use Limogook.
Probably your engines couldn't handle it. They would either overload and pollute the atmosphere or destroy the universe as you know it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Is it time to flatter you?
Sure.
You have a lovely fungus growing out of your head.
Fungus? What fungus? What?
Or fungus, or any major group of fungi, including mushrooms, mold, or mildew.
Yeah, well, I always wear mildew when I want to impress a guy. What did Fonzie do to me? This guy?
I'm impressed. Is it time to kiss yet?
I don't think so, no.
I'm sorry, I'm new at this dating ritual. What's the next step?
Why don't you just sit down on the couch, huh? Oh. Oh, why would you look at that?
Oh. Madame, look at what?
Nothing. It's gone now.
Oh, you sit funds-like. I must adjust and copy.
Get over there. Yeah. Me, I'm going to give you a fat lip.
Fat lip? Oh, no, rejection. I merely wanted to experience the dating process. Failure. Oh, no. Return to hatchling state.
Look, I'm real sorry. I mean, I didn't mean to reject you. Don't suck your finger. Your teeth will end up like mine. Oh, hey, come on. Hey. I really would like to be a friend.
Maintain.
What happened?
You touched me.
I went like this.
No, gang nap. Give me your earlobe.
My what?
Your earlobe, delicious one.
Ow! I think you're getting off on the wrong foot, buddy.
Oh, wrong foot, sorry.
Ow! Stay. I liked you better as a baby.
She likes me.
Oh, that was funny. That's physical comedy at its finest. Oh,
I don't think I've seen... I have not seen that since the day I was... Well, it would have been fifth grade.
Oh, I used to watch the reruns of that. Oh, my gosh. That's funny, man. That is pure good comedy. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but here's the question. What is the worst date you ever had that didn't go as you planned?
Probably when I got with Grace and I wound up spending 17, 18 years with her. She was 30 years older than me, so that's got to be the worst date ever because it was such an age difference that it was just companionship that turned into something of itself because it was just casino life. That's what it turned into.
Oh, I see you taking your hand going, oh, what did I do?
let me tell you. Yeah, exactly. What did I do?
I'm going to get back to you next week on what, because I think I got a few to choose from.
Okay.
To make it a good, proper one. I want to pick the right story for the right hand to glove for this. The worst date that I've ever had, or the one that didn't go quite as planned.
Wow. So, just don't play with the wood pipes with the gloves.
You know, wood pipe, it's not, oh geez. Okay. Anyway, comes to my next one. April 11th, 1970, Apollo 13.
Oh, my gosh. That's when it landed or took off?
That's when it took off.
Okay.
Okay? So, now, I think a lot of people who remember it, 1995, the Tom Hanks movie, directed by Ron Howard.
Wasn't that Apollo 13 they called it?
Yep.
Okay, that's what I thought, yeah.
Yep, notice how we segue that in there from Happy Days, Ron Howard, Ron Howard. Straight into the... But a lot of people don't remember that Kevin Bacon was also in Apollo 13.
I don't remember him on that.
He was, along with Gary Sinise. There was a few other people in there.
Oh, my gosh. You know, Kevin Bacon invested with the... the guy who they just did the Ponzi scheme. Uh, my gosh, I forget his name. Robert De Niro just played his part on HBO about him.
The guy that got busted.
Yeah, the Jewish guy who was doing all the investment
Murdoch
stuff.
Murdoch.
Yeah, Murdoch.
Murdoch.
Yeah. Bernie Murdoch.
Bernie, yeah.
He, Kevin Bacon, along with other celebrities, invested, and he lost millions of dollars, Kevin Bacon. Now he had to go back to work to recoup the money.
If he can work, yes.
And, you know, to get in the acting world, to make $1 million from little roles and build up, if you're not a big name, it's hard.
It's like when Burt Reynolds got $12 million in debt, I think it was, or $2 million, something like that, a big number. And he went back and he started taking little, tiny, small roles and started chipping away at the stone, and he cleared it out.
And he had to go, like, all kinds of stuff. They had to sell his house in Florida.
You know what? Right across the street here, they had the big auction Burt Reynolds did. The Palms, yeah. I wanted to go over and look at some of the stuff, but I didn't. I ran out of time.
It would have been great to see his Hooper outfit. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Smokey and the Bandit. Something good, classical, we all love.
So I want to play the trailer from the 1995 movie Apollo 13, because the trailer is still as classic as the movie, because it's still embedded in the history there. But I found out something that I didn't know. Okay? At the time when they were going, because they had to rotate once around the moon to kind of slingshot back to Earth, it passed the Apollo, the little tiny space capsule, was 137 miles above the moon. Around the dark side. And at that time, and I'm pretty sure the record still stands, that is the farthest that any human has been away from Earth.
This brings back the theory, theory. Why don't we go to space anymore and land on the moon?
You know, there's a lot of fun conspiracies
about that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's crazy. If we could do it back in 69 with all our technology, why aren't we doing it at least once every 5 years just to do different things?
I honestly think there's stuff up there they don't want us to know. But, you know.
Area 51.
Yeah, we're right
there. There's stuff right there. You don't want to park your car anywhere close because they get everything about you.
Let's stick with the topic here.
Yes.
So I want to play the trailer. So anyway, that's the farthest humans have ever been on the dark side of the moon.
Wow,
137 nautical miles. Here is the Tom Hanks from the trailer of Apollo 13.
Apollo 13 flight controllers, give me a go, no go for launch.
You know that Easter vacation trip we had planned for Acapulco?
Uh-uh.
Procedures?
Go.
Control.
Go flight.
There might be a slight change in destination.
Really?
Maybe say, the moon.
Booster.
Go.
Retro.
We're go, flight.
GNC.
We're go.
And I take the controls and I steer it around.
FAO.
We're go, flight.
For a nice, soft landing on the moon. Better than Neil Armstrong.
Does it bother you that the public regards this flight as routine?
There's nothing routine about flying to the moon. I can vouch for that.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
The clock is running!
Houston, we have cleared the tower at 13:13.
Okay, guys, we're going to the moon.
This is the crew of the Apollo 13, wishing everyone back on Earth a pleasant evening.
Houston, we have a problem.
We got a wicked shimmy up here.
Houston, we are venting something out into space. It's definitely a gas of some sort.
Flight, the heart rates are skyrocketing.
The Apollo 13 spacecraft is apparently losing breathing oxygen. The emergency has ruled out any chance of a lunar landing.
Why are so many people here?
Something broke on your daddy's spaceship.
I have a request from the news people.
Take it up with my husband. He'll be home on Friday.
Flight, we have loss of radio contact.
Econ, what's your data telling you?
It's reading a quadruple failure. That can't happen. It's got to be instrumentation.
The ship's bleeding to death.
This rate, we're going to skip right out of the atmosphere, and we're never going to get back.
Oh, we're looking at less than 15 minutes of life support in the Odyssey.
We never lost an American in space. We're sure as hell not going to lose one on my watch.
Odyssey, do you read me?
How long does it take to power up the LEM?
3 hours by the checklist.
We don't have that much time.
All right, so it makes you want to go back and visit the movie again, doesn't
Never
it?
Never saw the movie.
Never saw the
Never
movie?
Never saw the movie.
Well, eventually, they were having too much carbon dioxide was getting built up. And they had to jimmy-rig, they had to MacGyver something to start cleaning out and scrub the carbon dioxide that was building out of the lunar lander because they use that as the savior ship.
Kind of like lifeboat. Kind of living like in any major city. Too much carbon monoxide killing us.
Exactly.
Except we can breathe.
Exactly.
These guys couldn't. Wow. Apollo 13, let's revisit this. And some of us who haven't seen it, let's see it.
We'll have to go do... Eventually we'll do a podcast and we'll talk about some moon stuff. Because there's a lot of fun conspiracy... I say fun because that's the way I look at it. Conspiracy stuff. It's
the famous thing I know is the moonwalk, so it's good enough.
Yes, when Michael Jackson was on the moon. All right, brings us to our fourth one. And this is one that you put in, Getting Older, How Life Turns Out.
Yeah, okay.
Not going as you plan. Here's
how we go. You go to school. Your mom and dad raise you, if you were raised by whatever, mom, dad, grandparents, whatever. But I'm just saying basic mom and dad, let's say. Right. Got to go to college. Well, you go to high school, you don't study.
Yes.
You know, you get just enough to get by. Then you turn around, you're, what do you call them, the teacher's... Guidance counselor.
Guidance counselor.
Oh, you got to this, your grades got to improve. If not, you're going to turn out to be a nobody, a nothing, blah, 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 blah. Okay, guess what? It doesn't always turn out the way they see in life either.
True.
Because there's different walks of life. Yes. Most people have to go to college. Most people have to do this. But if you look at it too, how many people are in debt from college that are driving cabs, mopping floors, working at 9 to 5 morning, night, whatever, as a clerk or like a manager, assistant
still
manager.
Still trying to pay off those student loans.
Overbought stuff like the iPhone. Oh, we want to go out to eat and stuff. Just being an American. You know, a little luxurious. And now what happened to that? Everybody went to school, the heads of the class, the valedictorians. Yeah, most people succeed, but not everybody. So life doesn't always turn out where you're going to be like, you know, the president or a lawyer or a doctor. You know, you could be a bartender or waiter. They need, you know, blue class collar workers, you know, besides our state, our connection. We can't pump gas. But you could work you could open up your own business. That's the great thing about the mind and the creativity of life. Yeah, most people bullshit and they just box themselves in and they learn to get into a comfort zone and kids go to college and now.
Next thing you know, you got six kids, you're 3 months behind on the van payments,
And then you turn around, they repo it on you and all kinds of crazy stuff. But you never give up hope. You never give up dreams because you never know how things are going to turn out.
That's just it. I mean, here's what I was, because this kind of squirrel serendipity right into where I was looking at stuff. You know, Bill Nye, the Science Guy.
Yes.
He has on Netflix, he has the Bill Nye, the Science Guy Saves the World. Well, this past July, he put out another book.
Oh, there you go.
And it is such a...
Tell about it.
Let me tell you about it. Here's the whole title of the book, okay? So the title of the book is Everything All at Once. How to Unleash Your Inner Nerd, Tap into Radical Curiosity, and Solve Any Problem.
Okay.
It's been on the New York bestsellers list.
Wow.
Here he is talking about it real quick.
Greetings, everyone. I want to thank you all for making my new book, Everything All at Once, How Nerds Solve Problems, a New York Times bestseller. Pick them up wherever books are sold. You know, they're 20 in a carton. They make great gifts.
He did an interview on he did an appearance on in WNYC, there I can say it, in New York. He appeared on the Leonard Lopat show, and he talks about it, because I'm going to play about 90 seconds of this, but he talks about getting older and using your inner nerd to solve your problems and curiosities. And I kind of figured that kind of fitted in right on what we were talking about. Not, you know, things don't go out as you plan.
Exactly.
But tapping in what he said and what he's compromised and states in this little bit of dialogue with this host. And remember, we're using this for education
purposes. Critique and review only.
You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
His probably not a stretch to see Bill Nye as a nerd because of his bow ties, his pun-heavy sense of humor, and his intense passion for science. But don't worry, he's not offended if you call him a nerd. It's a term he proudly embraces, and he says it'll be up to nerds to take on and solve the Earth's biggest challenges, from poverty to climate change. In his latest book, Everything All at Once, How to Unleash Your Inner Nerd, Tap into Radical Curiosity, and Solve Any Problem, Mr. Nye calls on his readers to embrace their inner nerd. He offers strategies to help them think critically while he shares stories about growing up in Washington, D.C., and about working as an engineer and how he wound up on TV. His book is published by Rodale. I'm very pleased it has brought Bill Nye back to our show. Welcome back.
It's so good to be back.
What is the everything all at once mindset?
There's no silver bullet to solve the world's problems. We got to do many, many things. You got to take into account many, many things. And so that's what we want you, us, each of us to do.
Multitask.
Nah, multitask is a whole different thing for me, Leonard. I'm sorry. I don't think there's any such thing. But do one thing at a time.
So should we prioritize the problems that we need to solve, like targeting poverty?
All right, so there's a little bit of the interview that he did.
WYNC.
The Leonard Lopate Show. Lopate Show. Anyway, that's... Go listen to
Which is one of our biggest listeners, I found out. Leonard Lopate. He loves our stuff.
He does?
Yes.
I'm glad to hear that. That's good. So anyway, that's... Bill Nye, he's always on the nerd radar.
Always on the nerd radar. The inner nerd radar.
The inner nerd radar. So I want to get this book and read it. I'm curious about it. So anyway... Brings us to the last thing. 1936. It was a song called... All right, so you ever hear the song, Pick Yourself Up, Dust Yourself Off, Start All Over Again?
Yes.
It's kind of a dialogue. You're kind of like, you're born and that's given to you.
That's it.
Everybody knows it. But it has an interesting history because it goes back to 1936 to Fred Astaire in Ginger's Run. 1936!
With Ginger Rogers
Ginger
and Fred
Rogers
Astaire.
Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire, oh, nice. In the movie called Swing Time. Fred Astaire is coming into the dance studio. He's pretending that he doesn't know how to dance, and they sing the song. It's kind of a between a blues and a swing thing. Not all that good, but it's been recorded over the years. I think we should go out with Frank Sinatra's 1962 version.
Let's go out with a bang. Hey, AJ. That's from the line Titanic.
Okay.
When he wants to roll the steam, the guy who... engineered the ship or designed the ship.
Yes.
One says, don't you want to go with a bang, AJ? Meaning his career's over. They run the engines and down goes the Titanic. So take it away, Frank.
So when things don't go as you planned, you pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start over again. So here's Frank Sinatra, and then we're going to go right into a Muppet Show version of it with Nancy Walker consoling Fozzie Bear from 1977.
Now nothing's impossible. I have found for when my chin is on the ground, I pick myself up, dust myself off, and start all over again. Don't lose your confidence if you slip. Be grateful for a pleasant trip and pick yourself up, dust off, start over again. Work like a soul inspired until the battle of the day is won. You may be sick and tired, but you'll be a man, my son. Will you remember the famous men who had to fall to rise again? So take a deep breath, pick yourself up, start all over again. You gotta work like a soul inspired until the battle of the day is won. You may be sick and tired, but you'll be a man, my son. Will you remember the famous men who had to fall and then arise again? So take a deep breath, pick yourself up, dust yourself off and start all over again. Once again now, will you remember the famous men who had to fall and then rise again? So take a deep breath, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. That's enough now.
Nothing's impossible, I have found. But when my chin is on the ground, I pick myself up, dust myself off, and start all over again.
Yeah.
Don't lose your confidence. If you slip, just be grateful for a pleasant trip and pick yourself up. Dust yourself off and start all over again.